This is the Rich Eisen Show.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
A Goodfellas poster that I've had forever.
Really?
This is not my signature.
Because it's signed by you, De Niro, and Pesci, and I spent at least four figures on this thing.
Get out of here.
Yes.
You're a sucker.
Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz, NBC Sports host and broadcaster Mike Tirico, plus Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. That is correct. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Thrilled to be here in Los Angeles, California, hanging out with you for another 3 hours on NBC Sports on Peacock or NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 85. Hello to our terrestrial radio affiliate network on the Rich Eisen Show affiliate radio network, coast to coast. We say hello to everybody who might be streaming us into their ear gates through the Odyssey app. And then there's our podcast listeners. Look, I understand it's going to be a long Memorial Day weekend. Perhaps you're catching up on this whenever you please. It's your right. It's your right. But we ask you to also hit that subscribe button. Let's get that RSS feed up and chunky for all of us here on the Cumulus Podcast Network. And then youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. For everything that you need that you may miss over the next 3 hours of this program. Pro Football Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz will be on this program. Always great to catch up with one of the sweethearts of this business who you just didn't want to tangle with on a field, though. Nothing sweetheartish about him when he was protecting Kenny Anderson and Boomer Esiason in those Valhalla Bengals years with Chris Collinsworth on the team. Back in the 80s. He will be joining us here on this program. It'll be a great chat with him. Mike Tirico will join us. Last time I saw Mike, he was standing on a stage holding my Emmy Award in his hand. But nonetheless, he'll be joining us here in the middle of this program from Indianapolis, as our friends at NBC and Peacock, NBC Sports and Peacock. The Indianapolis 500 will be going down this weekend. And then Mike Williams will join us from the Los Angeles Chargers in hour number three. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, we got a closeout game tonight.
In Boston.
In Boston. Let's go.
Something that was said last decade as well, or two decades ago, and then it didn't work out with the Miami Heat coming in. But LeBron James is not walking through that door tonight. Jimmy Butler needs to channel his inner LeBron and get that series back to Miami for game seven. Jay Felly, good to see you in your spot.
What's up, Rich?
Is Mike Del Tufo ever returning to the show? Do we know or what?
No.
Okay, great. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson, lighting the candle. How are you, sir?
Rich, it's mighty big of you to have Mike Tirico on because, quite frankly, I'm not going to ask Kyle or Peter Schrager
to come on
anytime soon until the hurt goes away.
Well, Tirico and I go way back. Very long time ago, late 80s, I was doing sports centers with him. And then
late 90s.
Late 90s.
Late 90s.
Wow. Yeah, no. Yeah. By the way, that would have been a dream come true, I think, for both of us.
Late 80s, you were eating pizza sent to you in the mail.
Him
in
Syracuse at Newhouse School, and me eventually at the University of Michigan. At any rate, long story short, is late 90s, we did shows together, and then Susie was the sideline reporter for when Tirico was doing college football games for ESPN and ESPN on ABC, if you remember back in that day. Tim Brandt was in the booth with Tirico when Susie was on the sideline. So, Mike Tirico, I have nothing but love for the man.
I am just saying, you're a better man than me.
His fingerprints are on my Emmy Award, though. That's what's going on. And he's going into the Sunday Night Football booth, so that gives me a better shot at winning it next year.
Let's do this.
Because it's no Olympic year for him, and maybe he'll just go in the booth, stop hosting things excellently and leave it to us.
I mean, you should do that.
Although he is, in fact, hosting the Indianapolis 500. It is a, let me get this number right. Just got to keep putting my glasses on. I am getting older. The 106th running of the Indianapolis 500.
Wow.
The coverage begins 11 in the morning Sunday on NBC. It's a 500 mile situation.
So 106.
Right?
I think it's 250 laps. I think.
Don't make me do math. So, I mean, what are you doing? What
is that? I mean, none of us can count on this show. Okay. It's ridiculous.
I'm more verbal than math. How many more times do I do it? You know, let's just start with what I really want to say. And it's so great being right. It really is so great being right. It's great being right. I mean, I could sit here and talk about Klay Thompson's renaissance coming back from that Achilles tear and Jordan Poole's ascension and Steph Curry reminding everybody who he is and Draymond Green reminding everybody who he is. And it was a incredible run for this team. Kevon Looney becoming a significant part of this team. And obviously, we're hoping that Gary Payton II, the Mitten, can actually return, because the conversation was if the Warriors make the finals, it's possible that one of their more dynamic players off the bench, who was starting at the time, actually, when he got hurt against the Memphis Grizzlies, that's possible he could return if they make the finals. And look who has made the finals, as predicted from this chair many, many moons ago after the season began. And so that's where I'd like to lead is I told you so. Those are the words I'd like to say right here. Many people were thinking, Phoenix Suns can, you know, win that conference again. Sure, that's possible. And here, if Memphis Grizzlies could do something, everyone was talking about the Lakers in this town. Honestly, you flash back to October. Lakers, LeBron, Anthony Davis. Of course they're going to do well with Russell Westbrook. Some people saw through that. And by some people, I mean me.
Well, I mean,
and you,
me too.
And, yeah. And everybody in this room. But at any rate, I just, you know, I just like Spike in the basketball. Because I just saw it. Steve Kerr, how great is this guy? All the problems they had against the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, obviously, they were long on defense. But poof, Mike Brown, he's getting ready to go off to Sacramento. Kerr.
Are we sure?
He's still going. Okay, there's no finger on that chess piece.
No,
that move was made. Yeah. And so so look out, because game five, Clay showed up last night. And despite, what was that, a 16-0 run by the Mavericks to close out the third quarter to make it a game. Turned out to be yet another blowout in the NBA playoffs, and the Golden State Warriors, 2 years removed from having the worst record in the NBA. That's when Klay was out, Curry went out. It was that awful COVID season. They basically were told, you don't have to go to the bubble, and they were like, okay, fine with us. That last place team is now back in the NBA Finals. Thompson with 32 points, made half of his three-point shots, and he hoisted 16 of them. Again, we'll do the math for you. That's 8 of 16. Curry didn't have a great shooting night, but definitely distributed the ball, did what he needed to do. And Kevon Looney is suddenly a double-double machine. Golden State is yet to be beaten at home this postseason. And 9-0, they're tied for the most consecutive home wins in one single postseason, tied with the 2017 version of themselves. As they bounce the Mavericks and cause everyone from Charles Barkley to Kendrick Perkins and everyone else to wonder if Luka plays both sides of the basketball, if you will. The Mavericks get bounced, and the Warriors are back in the NBA Finals, and I'm all for it. Not just because I predicted it, but I just think it's better for this sport when Curry's on an international stage and somebody like Draymond Green that pisses you off, but actually is a delight to watch play basketball, in my estimation. And then there's Klay Thompson and the rest of this team that, by the way, made the NBA Finals without the number one overall selected player that they earned for having that terrible record 2 years ago. Wiseman didn't play a second this season. So he's getting better for next year. This team's only going to get better. Look out, because Steph is not slowing down and is performing at an advanced age or advancing age at such the high level that he's playing at in a way that, say, LeBron keeps playing at in his advancing age. We're seeing stuff from Curry that a lot of people thought 2 years ago we'd never see again. And last year was just an outlier. And his time to remind everybody, he's Steph freaking Curry. So excited for you Warrior fans. And I'm excited for us, because it is such a style of basketball that other teams try to play and don't play nearly as well. And they are just a beauty to watch. They're a team that can just explode on you. And it sure looks like they're going to face the team that might bring the best defense into the playoffs. or that brought the best team defense in the playoffs and is one game away from winning tonight. With all due respect to Heat fans, I think Celtics Warriors would be a much more enjoyable and competitive finals, I believe, based on the Heat team that we're seeing the Celtics expose, quite frankly.
I think that's the matchup the league was rooting for as well. Just two mega franchises, super likable basketball hardcore fans. So,
But the Heat would love to crash that party tonight, and there are many, many people who would, I guess, expose what you said for the Warriors being the team that everybody likes, not the Celtics.
Well, what's not likable about the Celtics team?
They're a very likable team, but it's just the Celtics thing just drives me absolutely insane. And I have a beautiful a boy in my house who roots dearly for them, an entire other side of the family, and a friend and crucial member of my professional and personal life. And you, Chris, I just still can't get past it. I can't pass the McHale and Parrish and Bird and ML freaking Carr with his white towel. And Ainge was annoying. Yeah. I can't get past all of that.
Don't forget
just even watching Winning Time with Bill Fitch, seeing the guy who played Bill Fitch for a split second in the Winning Time finale. By the way, who is the casting director?
It was great.
So there was a moment in this town's history where somebody said in a casting director's office, we got to cast for Bill Fitch. Get somebody who looks like Bill Fitch.
Bill Fitch situation.
Well, they nailed it with Red Auerbach and our friend Chiklis.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my God.
But John C. Riley during that scene where Red was like, hey, I won executive of the year and Bill won coach of the year. And Jerry Buss was like, oh, you won everything that doesn't matter.
Well, the best line, just since it is also germane to this part of the discussion, front loading tonight's Celtics Heat game 6, is a line that I told you guys as I was watching Winning Time on the flight home from the Emmys. And I'm on the plane. And when you laugh out loud on a plane, people kind of turn their heads.
Right.
You know, the line Jerry, and again, I understand Jerry West is very upset by his portrayal. And everybody knows Jerry West, including Susie and John Sally, says he doesn't curse like that. He doesn't lose his temper like that. But the Jerry West character on Winning Time does love the Lakers, I think, as much as the real Jerry West did at the time, right? So it's a scene where John C. Riley's Jerry Buss is asking Jerry West for help on deciding which coach to land on to continue on in his first season as owning. And Jerry West gets upset that Buss is asking him because he feels that if it's the bad decision that he's going to counsel, it's going to be pinned on him. And Buss says to West, I'm asking everybody. I'm even asking my priest. To which West responds, don't ask your priest. He's probably a Celtic fan. And I laughed out loud. Laughed out loud at it. Because it does speak. They are likable, man. Jason Tatum is likable. Jaylen Brown is likable. So super likable.
I understand.
Their coach is likable.
Like
everyone loves the coach's wife. Marcus Smart.
I get if you don't like it.
Why don't... I mean, you honestly,
he's one of those you like him.
He's as self-made as they come. Like, you know, kids dig him. He colors his hair.
Yeah.
It's just that Shamrock, man. It's that parquet floor. It's the Shamrock, and it's Sully and Fitz drinking their 15th friggin' 20-gallon beer, screaming their heads off in a jersey with no shirt underneath.
Rich,
in public.
Just
you know,
think
like
about
that's,
how well
I can't get past it. I'm sorry.
Everyone's going to be so lubed up tonight in Boston. 3-day weekend. Probably half the town called in sick today anyway.
And then is it possible that Larry Bird will be in the building tonight?
I got to say, the league started this new thing where they're giving out conference MVPs, conference finals MVPs, named them after Magic and Larry. You know, obviously the Lakers weren't playing last night, so Magic Johnson did not show up to the Bay Area. However, there's a chance Boston closes out tonight and Tatum wins MVP and... Why not Larry Bird show up to give out the Larry Bird trophy?
And then what's the problem with that, though, is Larry Bird can't travel back down to Larry doesn't have 3 days on Memorial Day weekend to just give out a trophy for 2 seconds and walk away. You know what I'm saying? But maybe tonight, just because it's in Boston, maybe. And the first one could be handed out in Boston fingers to somebody. Fun. And again, that would only enrage me as the New Yorker. And I have no other reason to care.
As you know,
I even watching the Rangers lose in Carolina last night, and I have so many friends of mine who still work in Bristol, Connecticut, who I remember so upset when the Hartford Whalers left to go down to Carolina. So I have no love for the Carolina Hurricanes just from that alone. I still have my Hartford Whalers t-shirt that I walk around, the whale. And so, but watching the Rangers lose to them last night, despite having so many Ranger fans in my life too, I just knew somewhere James Dolan got upset by that. And that made me happy. So I no longer have any Nick fandom in this. I just have only Dolan dislike and distaste. And the wormhole is pulling me in gravitationally as I speak every single syllable right here, pounding the table more. Even with all that, watching Larry Bird show up to hand the trophy to Jason Tatum, who's Jalen Brown, I love
Al
this.
Al Horford, if he has a great game.
This Cal Bear man, what he's done with his career is amazing. Okay? And the Celtics do have this spirit that Klay Thompson keeps talking about in quoting John Wooden all the time, saying that the quote that he said has to do with a team and not, it's amazing what a team can do when nobody cares who gets the credit, is what Klay Thompson says about the Warriors. And I think you could say the same thing about the Boston Celtics right now, and that is commendable. But if Larry Bird shows up with a trophy with his name on it to hand it off to some Celtic with the confetti coming down and Sully and Fitz going ape in the stands, I will not be happy.
Your but son will, Rich, and that's all
be,
that matters.
He will be, and I'll keep my, you know, I will not teach my son my spite. I will not pass it down. But I'm just expressing it into this microphone and to anybody who's listening or hearing this. And I think I speak for a lot of people. So when you say that it's a series for likable versus whatever, or two likable teams.
Two likable teams.
I disagree. How about this? Two likable teams, not two likable franchises.
That's maybe a little more accurate. Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Take your gremlins, take your ghosts, like, yeah, and stick them somewhere. Okay. Saying it with my chest.
You have to.
Okay. Your grab bag is outstanding today.
I haven't done it yet.
You know what? I'll say what it is because I think people will like to hear it because we were talking about him yesterday. Ray Liotta passed away at the age of 67. You've got the top five Ray Liotta movies, performances.
Just
what do you got?
TJ's top five favorite Ray Liotta.
Okay, very good. Chris Rockman.
T-shirt.
Okay, very good. Oh, you do?
Yeah,
very good.
Goodfellas.
There's a Goodfellas t-shirt. And yeah, there's, at least it's not autographed and sold to some sucker. Who thought he got four genuine autographs.
I don't make foo-foo L's.
It's fantastic. Go visit that video that we posted of Ray Liotta. Almost 7 years to the day prior to his passing on this program. We're going to have a coming up next. We'll do this coming up next. Let's do it. What's more likely? We're going to do it next. What's more likely?
All right.
But not just about this weekend, because to be honest, if the Celtics do win tonight, we will not see basketball for six more days.
Yeah, exactly.
The NBA Finals is up again until next Thursday. And with all due respect to what Mike DiRico is coming on to talk about, the Indianapolis 500 and Major League Baseball, and I pay only the ultimate respect to it because not only do I love the sport, but the Yankees stand astride it atop like a colossus right now, one game under 20 games over 500. How does that sound to say? They're going for 20 games over 500. On the Friday before Memorial Day against the Tampa Bay Rays, who they beat about the face, head, neck, and chest last night. with all due respect to that, we're going to do it what's more likely based on all the football headlines that are out there in the world
NFL
today.
NFL going on this week. Yeah.
And did you include anything else for the weekend or just all NFL?
No, it's actually just all NFL.
Fantastic, baby. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's have a conversation as well, shall we? I'd like to do that. On this very busy Friday program, Mike Williams of the Chargers and Anthony Munoz, formerly of the Bengals, now of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's a Chief Football Relations Officer is his new title. And Mike Tirico of NBC sports. That's all coming up with you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Before we go to break, I want to tell you about the Rogue ST driver that is in my bag. It is called the Rogue ST Max. It's one of four different versions of the new Rogue ST driver that's been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. But of the four different versions of it, you can find the one that fits you perfectly. Gives you more speed on off-center hits, provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI, but it's been engineered for every single player. That's the Max that I have, the combo of distance and forgiveness I love. You need a dedicated draw model to help with your shot shape correction. There's the Max D for that. The Max LS gives you stronger trajectory if you want something more low spin with a neutral ball flight. That's the stick for you. But you want to bust out the big dog. You're one of those true players out there. The Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS. That's the compact low spin head that the tour players love. Look, Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. The Rich Eisen Show on the air on this Friday, a Memorial Day weekend.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Hi, buddy, on the Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio network here on the Rich Eisen Show. Giving a shout out to MDT, giving him a hug through the television screen. And Jay Felly sitting in his spot.
It's a little long for a fantasy name, but I do like it.
What is what? Del Tufo's moment of non-zen?
Yeah.
What would your avatar be?
I don't know.
Just Mike's face, I think. Yeah, just Mike's
face.
And
just a gym selfie?
And again, just
gym selfie.
Sweaty gym selfie. Again, just the you guys showing up in the same lids Emmy night is really it was enjoyable. It was just seeing Mike in his full splendor with the you both had shades on, and then he showed up in a velvet.
I crest. Love when Mike dresses up.
Sport coat.
It's Miami Mike, baby.
And the velvet Miami matched Mike the hat. Shades. And then so you said, what? Like you got another hat? Whose suggestion was it on the hats?
I went to get shaving cream to shave my head, which is what makes it funny. And then he goes, you should wear one of these. And I didn't want to, but
he brought two just in case.
He had three.
Yeah, he travels with Kangos.
He had white, black, and blue.
Could have had one for you.
I could have worn one.
Yeah, he travels. It makes sense. I used to be like that with sneakers until I was like, this is just taking up too much space. Yeah.
You, what do you mean you used to be? I thought you brought two pairs to New York.
Well, I brought a pair plus a pair that I wore there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we weren't checking bags.
Yeah. But by the way, you know, you were talking about your laughing on the plane moment.
Mm-hmm.
I had the exact same thing. I was watching an old episode of Curb.
Which Curb?
It was season 5. I think it was episode 1. Okay, so Funkhauser wanted to, he was renewing his vows. And Larry, there was a whole thing about Larry leaving before dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And then Funkhauser was yelling at Larry about, I wanted to recreate the picture. Do you remember this? And he's like, I want to recreate the picture. Where's Larry? And then somebody said, Larry went home to take a... And I could not stop laughing at this scene. Like, old Curbs are great.
And so is New. As you know, we're going to get another season of it. Did a Curb episode break out in the first segment of this program? Did I hear T.J. Jefferson's phone ring?
T.J.'s text notification is the Curb theme.
Yeah.
So every time you get a text that you hear the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme on
unless
your phone?
It's on mute, which it is 99% of the time.
Except that 1% in the first. Okay.
So when you wonder why I don't like respond to texts all the time.
You don't. It's so annoying.
Because I turned it off.
You have two. My phone is always on silent.
I have two phones.
You have two phones.
I have a phone. All right.
Come on.
Do you have a burner?
Not TJ. Really. Not anymore. I don't.
Come on.
I could barely afford this phone. No, I don't got a burner.
TJ, you have a bat phone?
Wow.
I had a bat phone.
Wow.
I did. It was company phones when I was employed by this
phone company
monstrosity behind us.
Careful.
Okay. I'm saying monstrosity because it's huge.
Oh, okay. This large buildings.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. All right. Let's get into this edition of What's More Like. It's Memorial Day weekend. Look, if the Celtics win tonight, Memorial Day weekend will be NBA-less.
NBA free.
The NHL playoffs have been a delight.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
They have been a delight to watch. But with due respect to that and baseball and the Indianapolis 500 that's on NBC Sports and Peacock this weekend, Mike Tirico, hour two to discuss it. We're going to have a What's More Likely based on the NFL headlines of this weekend. There's always headlines. Hit it. What's more likely here on this Friday? Go for it.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Very good. I like it. Hit the film's music. Thank you. I just can't get enough of the Sam Spence Philadelphia Philharmonic playing Steve Sable's finest as well.
I mean, thank you, Sam Spence. Thank you, Mike Tomlin.
What do you got over there?
All right, let's start with, let's talk some NFC East running backs, Rich.
Yes.
Dak Prescott thinks Zeke Elliott is going to have a great season.
That's what he said this week.
I'm a little more skeptical, so let's throw this out there. Who's more likely to rush for 1,000 yards in 2022?
Okay.
Zeke or Saquon?
Oh.
Saquon coming back from injury.
I am going. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it staring right at TJ Jefferson.
I already know what you're going to say. Like everybody
what
listening,
am I
going to
say?
Everybody listening to your
what
voice
am
right
I going
now,
to say?
Anything the opposite of the Cowboys is what you're going to
say.
Why? Because you've already on record is saying that Zeke isn't the best running back on the Cowboys team. So therefore, I would think that you would say that there's no way the second best Cowboys running back could have more yards
Dak
than the
Dak said that Zeke is healthy now.
Okay.
And he's going to have a big season, is what Dak said. And I'm saying that the Cowboys will be wise enough to make sure that Zeke is strong for the January run that the Cowboys will make. I think the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs. How does that sound? Well, I tell you that Saquon's going to run for 1,000 yards this year. I'll take him.
You
as
really
likely.
Think it's?
I am all in on Brian Daboll and what he's going to cook.
So
up.
I was basically right, is what you're saying.
But I also said the Cowboys are making the playoffs.
Yeah, but you might change that.
When will I change that?
When we actually have to give our predictions on the playoffs.
I don't know. Right now is on Memorial Day weekend. I am going back and forth about who's winning the division.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
With the Eagles?
Yeah. Come on.
Come on. I need to see something from their quarterback.
He made the playoffs last year. He got better.
They made it because
they've got
17.
AJ Brown now. Here we go.
Okay.
So I'll.
I mean, I'm not bad. I'm staying with the Cowboys.
They have Pollard. Split the carries. You want to have Zeke strong in the fourth quarter? Great. Then give it to Pollard in quarters 1 through 3 a little bit more, and then put Zeke out there to just pound it home and make sure the other team doesn't get back on the field. Control the line of scrimmage. Control the clock. I like it. That's a way for the Cowboys to win. Don't have Dak throwing it 40 times a game.
I do not.
But that's the way that somebody won't run for 1,000 yards. See how I kept it positive and made my point about my Saquon love? That's how you do it.
All right, well, I'm gonna throw a little wrinkle here.
Okay.
How about Cowboys quarterback more likely to rush for 1,000 yards? Running back, Zeke or Tony Pollard?
Both.
Get out of here. You go neither. I'll go neither.
Both. We retooled our offensive line.
I'll go neither.
Both of them.
But they should give the touches to Pollard. That
TP
guy's
1K.
A homer. Hey, man, Zeke is the guy that moves the pile. Zeke is the guy that steals your soul, okay? Because he keeps coming at you and doing this whole business.
Yeah, he likes to eat.
Okay? He's the guy that can punch it in from the 5-yard line. Pollard's the guy who can get it in from your own 35.
Facts.
So, He's got to touch the ball more. And that's part of the reason why I think Zeke won't get 1,000 yards. And it's more likely that Saquon will, because I like Daboll, and I think he's going to use this guy. So,
all right, let's move on. Jameis Winston, guys, he says everything's going great in his return from a knee injury.
Okay.
Kind of got me thinking about NFC South quarterbacks.
Yes.
Who's more trustworthy this season? Who do you trust more, Jameis or Marcus Mariota with Atlanta?
Oof. Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Oh, man. When you say trust, what do you mean? I mean, the Saints and the Falcons offense and the roster for both are, they're not even in the same, they're in the same division, but not in the same zip code. Not in the same galaxy.
I mean, do you trust Mariota in a new spot, or do you trust Jameis coming back from injury?
I'll go. What's more, so? If this is in the construct of what's more likely as well, I'll go with Jameis having the better season, and I would trust him more. I will. I think the Saints are man. I think you might get a wild card team from the East and the South this year, making it very difficult for the West to get three in. That's the way I'm looking at it right now in the NFC. Because everybody's focused on the AFC right now. I'll say more trustworthy is Jameis. I'm going to be very I'm bullish on him. I don't know what Mariota and this offense is going to look like in Atlanta. So that's my answer on that one.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. All right, moving on. Patrick Mahomes. You guys have heard of him, right?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes says it's not just going to be one guy on the Chiefs' offense this year. It's going to be an everybody offense.
Okay.
We're talking to Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams later on today.
Look at you weaving a tapestry.
They've got a nice offense.
Yes.
But who has the better offense in 2022, Chiefs or Chargers?
Oh. Wow. Good God.
Bitch, you wanted NFL topics for what's more likely? I am bringing them to you.
But I mean, who's more likely to have a better offense? What's the metric? More yards? More just eye test? Is that what you're saying?
Yards, points, aesthetics.
At least with the Cowboys when you gave me a number.
Yeah.
You want to go more wins?
How about this?
You want to go more
who's
wins?
Who's going to throw more touchdowns to different people?
Rich, whatever you got likely? To justify your answer. I mean, Chiefs or Chargers?
Oh, man. I'm going to go. I'll go with the Chargers. Ooh. They're bringing their people back, man.
Sexy news.
They're bringing their people back. They're bringing their people back. I've asked everybody, including Brett Veach gave a... Brett Veach, look, Brett Veach gave a terrific reasoning as to why they let Tyreek Hill get the trade wanted. Okay.
Of course, of course.
And so this is the toughest the AFC West has been in a very long time. I can't even remember the last time, okay, they were this tough.
It's been a while.
That it was this deep. You know, so this is the time where the Chiefs give up one of their significant advantages. I mean, if you want to talk about significant advantages in the NFL, quarterback, wide receiver combination. Would you name, in the AFC, it would be Mahomes and Hill.
Yep.
In the NFC, it would be Rodgers and Adams. And they've both have split up. The NFC North is still a division that the Packers can win, I think, easily. And we'll see in week one, by the way, another week one piece of filet mignon is Packers and Vikings. The Chiefs gave up there. They had two of them. At least they still have one, maybe the best quarterback tight end combination in the NFL. So they gave one of them up. The Chargers are going to come back as scripted, including our third our guest. And I say this at the risk of getting a text from really Adam from Eric Stone Street. I'll take the Chargers here.
Okay.
I need to see it from Mahomes and that offense first without Tyreek Hill. See what it looks like. Obviously, week 8, week 9 will be better than weeks 1 through 8.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
What else?
Rich, we're talking about two quarterbacks
here. Nice change of music for change of topic. Very, impressive. I pick up on everything, Jay Felly. See, I'm giving compliments.
Yeah, you are.
Well, I mean, Del Tufo pointed out earlier.
Is he in charge of your Uber rating? You don't have to butter him up.
Nice.
I know.
I was for about 20 minutes.
I was sitting here like, man, just sweating this guy.
All right. Two quarterbacks, guys, who they want to get paid. One we think wants to get paid. We know the other guy wants to get paid. They're also not at OTAs right now.
Lamar and Kyler, what do you got?
Who's more likely to have an MVP season this year, Kyler or Lamar Jackson?
Oh, it's Lamar Jackson.
What? Really?
Yeah, there's no DeAndre Hopkins for 6 weeks.
Who's he throwing to?
I don't know. 15 tight ends. And then running. And then doing it. Coming up with 200 yards passing to 7 different tight ends and 4 different fullbacks. And then running for 100 yards and accounting for 4 touchdowns. Like, that could be a very feasible stat line for Lamar this year.
I'm looking at Ravens wide receiver.
So, yeah, it's not deep, sir. It's not deep, and it's not experienced, and it's dicey, which is why you'd like to have him in an OTA. But
some guy named Slade Bolden is a wide receiver.
Fantastic. Was that the guy who once upon a time asked for his tape back with Dirk Diggler?
I mean, Rashard Bateman, I guess, is their best wide receiver right now.
Slade Bolden.
All due respect, of course. All right, more likely MVP season. You like Lamar?
I'll go Lamar, yes. Yeah, I'll go Lamar, yes.
All right, lastly, Rich, and this one's for you. Have you seen what Zach Wilson looks like these days? He's put on about 20 pounds.
Great.
He's a little beefier.
There we go.
A little thicker.
Yeah, nobody's going to shove Stifler around.
I don't know if he's looking more less like Stifler these days. How about more likely to have a bigger sophomore leap, Zach Wilson to Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, man. Come on! Let me sound this out. I feel like this is like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I got to talk it out.
Phone a friend?
I can't phone a friend.
You can call your brother.
I don't know if my brother or my nephew are going to be helpful in this regard because I don't know.
It'd be great if you called your brother right now. I'm in the middle of a case. Like, what are we talking about?
FaceTime him.
You want to call him?
You should FaceTime your brother right now. See what he picks up.
You'll be like, hello? What are you doing?
He answers. Of all the people I asked to FaceTime.
Let me talk this out. Okay, let me talk this out. So one guy has a top 10 wide receiver, potentially the best wide receiver from college football drafted for him.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's got a veteran in Corey Davis, who he had a nice connection with when he was healthy. Elijah Moore, who
showed flashes.
Terrific. Terrific rookie season.
Flashes, yeah.
The Jets add a couple of tight ends through free agency. Draft another one from the Ohio State as well. The line seems to be ready to go.
Good young
Michael
running back.
Carter, yeah. And Breece Hall.
Draft another
weapons
one.
Weapons everywhere.
Weapons everywhere.
The other guy gets Christian Kirk, which set everything out of whack,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah,
for
yeah.
All these other wide receivers.
He got paid.
Okay. His teammate from Clemson.
Coming back
from injury, right?
So is James Robinson. Got a Super Bowl coach.
Correct.
Offensive Super Bowl
right.
coach.
Right. He's got that. Hmm. Meaning he doesn't have the other guy.
Right. Addition by
subtraction. Kicking kickers.
Right.
Doing stupid stuff. Making his coaches defend their resumes and
exactly.
Not flying back on planes and benching running backs, causing Trevor in the middle of a game saying, what gives, what, why were you not have our running back in there? And then he lies about it to the media later on saying, I had nothing to do with it. The major addition by subtraction. But when it all comes down to it, I'm going to go with the New York Jets, Zach Wilson. It's going to have a big step up, especially since Romo told me that the ceiling is Mahomes. That's what he told me.
He did say that. I heard that.
Yes.
There you go.
That's my answer. That's my answer. But you cannot discount Doug Peterson being A, Doug Peterson, and B, like that would be a poll question. What's Doug Peterson's biggest contribution? what he can bring as Doug Peterson
or
what he's bringing as not being Urban Meyer. You want to put that out?
Let's just put that out.
What's his biggest upside? What he's bringing in his body of work?
What?
Or the fact that he's not kicking the body of the kicker?
Biggest upside.
What's more likely, everybody? Well done. Way to trigger me,
love
Chris.
It. Hey,
you got it. Yeah. Way to trigger
What's
me.
What's Doug Peterson's biggest upside as Jaguars head coach?
All right. Super Bowl
winning resume.
Okay. Very
not
good.
Not being Urban Meyer.
Yes. Yes. Hit send. I will retweet from my personal at Rich Eisen account, at Rich Eisen Show. Go vote on it. When we come back, a delightful pair of guys, a fellow Michigan man and another guy whose name escapes me, on a podcast that's being done without a bus motor in it.
Will Compton.
They're calling me out, and I'm going to hit that when we come back on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. This will be fun. I wouldn't touch the dial if there is a dial involved.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Here on this program, we've had a terrific relationship with Taylor Lewan ever since he came off the campus at Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he call into the show? I don't know, Taylor, I got to ask you. You probably wouldn't remember.
When he was at Michigan?
Did he call in when he was at Michigan?
I can check that.
I just loved everything about the way he played at Michigan and then just his personality, and now he's coming for my best dad ever. Crown and then, you know, we had him on the podcast we had him on our show back when he was announcing the start of his podcast, Bussin' with the Boys, with who's the guy he does it with?
Joe Englewood?
No, that's who it is. It's Will Compton. He went to some school like Nebraska or something.
See what I did there?
But at any rate, that's very good. So at any rate, he announced that podcast called Bussin' with the Boys.
Right.
He's gonna have a podcast in a bus. And I said I would come on only when the bus had a motor in it. That's it.
Right.
Okay.
From the beginning, that's always been
I literally said that to him because I said to him, oh, great. So when you take the bus to Los Angeles, I'm more than happy to hop on your bus and do your podcast.
And he was like, we're not going to travel.
I'm like, why aren't you going to travel with it? That's what you should do, travel on country. Well, this doesn't have a motor. And I'm like, you can't have a show on a bus with no motor. What are you doing? So, I've been having fun with that, and the fact that I'm keep acting like I don't know Will Compton's name, although I find Will very, very funny. And I even gave him a shout out in his form of a video. He's been taking trolls, Twitter trolls, and social media trolls on a walk. Very funny, man. Putting him to bed. Yeah, I showed you that one where he wrapped him in his swaddle.
That was great.
And then cursed at him. Like, I don't know if that's the way he talks to his newborn, but at any rate.
Impressive.
So they are, I'm loath to talk about this.
Is it a fight club situation?
No, it's not. It's not. I was saying, do I talk about this or not? Because I kind of find it funny what they're doing right now. And I want to see where they're going with it.
Okay.
Because apropos of nothing, out of nowhere, I saw on my Twitter feed a tweet saying that they're going to post a photograph of me every day that I'm until I come on the podcast.
Until you come on the bus.
So there was one yesterday. There's the one they put up there, and I'll explain
that's
for
like
the radio
from your
audience.
Book or something.
No, that's from you could see that's the old Total Access set behind me. That's a publicity photo,
right?
Probably from like 2005 or 6, I would say, because you could see I'm hanging on for dear life on the front hairline right there. That's where, you know, that's kind of like the Mason-Dixon line of my hairline. That's kind of what, or the point of no return, where I could have gone the Deion route there.
Yeah, I could have
gone full Propecia at the time to see if I could save anything.
Right.
Neither here nor there, but that's a very old publicity photo. Very good. And so I didn't say anything yesterday to see if they would. And today I even said to you before going on the air, like, did they post another one today? And you said 4 minutes ago.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what they it's a screen grab of me with a fake mohawk on my lid. This, I don't know, this must be somewhere on Google or something. What this is that you're seeing here is me on Total Access, okay, with a fake mohawk on my head. And I remember what this was, is Nate Burleson, way before he was a part of the paparazzi with NFL Network and then CBS This Morning, and now a back-to-back Emmy Award winner for what he's doing. He was a mere NFL player who came on the show with that mohawk at the time, and they took it off his head and put it on mine.
Okay, so I found this. This is from April of 2011.
There you go. So we're talking 11 years old. Damn, it's been a long time, man. I don't shine shoes no more. So what do I do here? Because I mean, they still don't. Here's what I'll say.
Let's see how far they take it.
I kind of want to see where we go from here.
Right.
Because I'm digging it. I find it funny, and I just they're picking their spots with what they're taking off of my, I guess, Google image page. But how do I do this if they still don't have a motor on the bus? Right? Maybe the way around it is any motor. Just take a motor out of anything.
Okay.
And just place it on the bus. And do I have to physically be there? And obviously, I could make this phone call to Taylor Lewan in 2 seconds flat. But I figure I'm returning in kind of, we're talking through Twitter now, which is unhealthy, I'll be honest. It's not the healthiest relationship to talk to somebody through Twitter, social media. But I'm going to keep biting on this and see where it goes.
Even when you lose, I win.
So like think of a motor out of like a Hot Wheel car or
whatever
something
it is.
And just like set it
No, I think it's got to be an actual motor.
Okay.
From something.
Like a lawnmower or
whatever it is. Okay. And move it, place it there, and then I could feel like I'm still standing on principle.
Yeah, stood your ground.
Yeah, just something.
That looks like, well, it's a fan. It's not a motor in there, right?
Mm.
Well, they have a motor. It just doesn't work. Hour two coming up.
That bus does not go forward or backward.
Okay.
Or turn, or any of that stuff. There's no.
I can't believe they chose that screen grab from a 2011 NFL Total Access.
No,
I remember the moment. I have not seen it literally. I haven't seen that moment in 11 years.
Yeah, I guess Nate was debuting a hawk or something. Because that was an old segment, Four Downs. That would end the show.
Yeah. Well, we did that for
years.
For years.
Yeah.
We ended the show with Four Downs.
Yeah.
We did that. Yes. Okay. So okay. I guess the short answer, well, this is now the long answer. But a short answer to it is I'm game. I'd love to come on. I've always wanted to come on. They still don't have a motor on it. And and we could chop up quite a bit.
But you're not going to physically go to Nashville, right?
I don't have any plans to do so.
Okay. Well, you're couching it. That's
I don't have any plans.
That's an insider term.
Sources say Rich Eisen is not expected to go
not
to
expected.
Nashville.
Yep.
There's no
We could do another show bonding, you know, team builder exercise and take a show trip to Nashville.
Like all like, 10 of us
yeah,
again?
Yeah, again. I mean, great town.
You should do that.
Says the guy in charge of HR, not the budget of this here operation.
Right.
You're not the CFO
this
there.
Is not the house, you know.
Would be prudent at this juncture.
OMB committee.
Yeah, I don't think there's any plans to go to Nashville anytime soon.
It should be because they got some good barbecue down there.
The draft in Nashville, Tennessee, should be part of a rotation The draft is obviously on a rotation. What they have yet to do with the draft on a rotation is to have repeat customers every few years like the Super Bowl.
Right.
Okay? We always talk Super Bowls got to be in New Orleans, Los Angeles, Miami, Florida, and just keep rotating
Vegas. Somebody.
Now Vegas
is in the,
to be part of that.
Of all of it.
After we've seen the draft. Vegas and Nash Vegas should be involved in some form of a draft rotation.
Draft,
and they should
Super
include
Bowl,
New York in it. Just a nice old school New York draft.
Just not at Radio City.
I don't know about that.
I was just saying anti Dolan.
Oh, yeah. Forget him. That's right. By the way, great Dolan move, man. Piss the NFL off and create this whole other option for him. Well done.